334. The Custodians. The being's remarks about the development of different galactic races caused me to think of our earthly problems. Racial differences, colors, ethnic differences, religions, etc., are difficult enough for us to understand and come to terms with. Much violence has occurred because of the differences, and even wars have been fought because of supposed superiority or inferiority. If we cannot bring ourselves to understand, eliminate and reconcile these differences, how can we ever hope to understand space beings? Can we blame them for not wishing direct conscious contact? They have seen too many examples of the way we violently treat those who are different. Human beings are afraid of what they don't understand, and distrust anything they perceive as different. We are not four races, we are only one, the human race. And we are also part of the galactic race. Chapter 9, Taken from the Freeway. When I returned to Little Rock for a lecture in December 1989, I arranged to have a session with Janice. I was recovering from a cold and was not feeling well. The entire trip had been a drain, so I tried to schedule as light a workload as possible. However, I definitely wanted to work with Janice again regardless of the way I felt physically. I was hoping to contact the same entity that spoke to me during the first session. That contact occurred spontaneously, so I was really unsure of how to proceed. We decided to explore a strange experience Janice had earlier that year. From there I could figure out how to contact the entity. On the day in question she left work and went to get lunch for several other employees. She remembered leaving the building, and while driving she saw a UFO over the highway. She tried to get people on the street to notice the object, but they kept walking by as though she was invisible. During this time there was also no noise, as though she had suddenly lost her hearing. The people ignored her completely. Afterwards she returned to work, and was astounded when her hearing returned and the sound came back in a loud rush. She discovered that now the people around 335, 336, the custodians, her on the steps of the building could hear and see her. When she entered her workplace the workers were irritated, because she was gone several hours instead of the short time she thought had passed. They no longer wanted the lunch she gave them. We decided to try to find out what occurred on that day. Janice could not bring herself to listen to the tape of the last session. Although it is difficult for others to understand, this is common among the people I work with. They often avoid the tape recording like the plague. Maybe hearing their own voice say these things gives it more reality, and consciously that is what they are trying to avoid. There is bliss in ignorance. It doesn't matter, because the therapy and healing occurs on the subconscious level anyway. As we prepared for the session, Janice was concerned she might not go into trance again, because it had been several months since the first session. I knew there would be no problem, because the keyword suggestion always works when it is given in such a deep state of trance. I used her keyword and counted her back to the day the incident occurred. I knew if I could zero in on it fairly accurately that the subconscious could locate it with no trouble, even though we were not sure of the date. At the end of the count she had returned to her office on the day of the event. She was apprehensive because she was hearing a strange noise in her head. "It's that funny noise that I hear, that lets me know when they're around. I was at my desk and I heard it, and I felt a little sensation in my head. I thought it was them, and then I thought, no, I'm imagining it. And I was busy. I didn't have time to stop and think about it. It's a good noise. It doesn't hurt or anything. Sometimes it's very high-pitched, but it can also sound like a hum. Except it's inside your head, and your ear pressure can change. When it comes you sort of feel your ears pop or something. D, and you don't realize that's what it is? J, well, I do now. But you're not thinking about it, so when it happens it's kind of a surprise. I thought they were just taken from the freeway, 337, letting me know they were there, and it was okay. That's not the first time they were at my desk. Sometimes they do that, and they work the energy through you. You don't have to do anything, because it's energy work for the planet. Sometimes you don't have to go anywhere. D. But this time you felt you had to go somewhere. J. I didn't plan on going anywhere. I wasn't going to get lunch, and then I was surprised when I said I was going to get lunch. Then I thought, oh, did I say that? Chuckle, and I realized they wanted me to leave, because I had not planned on leaving. Then I thought, oh, well, they must be going to do work or something, so I needed to leave. It bothered me, because I'm usually at home when it happens, not in the middle of the day at work. Then when I went downstairs in the elevator, it made my stomach feel funny, so I knew it was starting to happen. It does that sometimes when the time changes. D. The time changes? J. Her voice was slowing down, becoming softer. Yeah. You move into a different time. D. What do you mean? J. Things get different. You stop being on this time, and you go. When I got on the elevator, I realized the time was getting different. But it was okay. I know what it is now. And I wasn't afraid. And then when the elevator started to move, she began to breathe heavier, as though with effort, or maybe from nausea. I gave comforting suggestions. After more heavy breathing, I wanted to remove her from the elevator. D. Then did you go to yoga or what? J. Yeah, I was feeling like in a dream state then. Phew. More labored breathing. That's when I realized they were really, really here. And that I was really, really not quite in this dimension. That I was in it, but I was out of it. I was moving through it physically, but it was more 338, the custodians, sensations, and I got to my car, and I was just trying to maintain this dimension. And I thought, well, I'm going to drive. I said I'd go get lunch for the girls in the office, and I'm going. D. And you have to be able to drive. J. Yeah. She seemed confused, and I started the car, and I realized that. Phew. I was feeling funny. It's like, speeded up and slowed down, speeded up and slowed down, speeded up and slowed down. D. Boy, that would be confusing. J. Well, it's not confusion. It's not even that. It's the molecular. You can feel your body doing it. And you know it's happening, and you know you're doing it, and you know it's. Big breath, it's starting to move, starting to move. Confusion, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing. D. But we're just remembering at this point, and it won't really bother you in any way. J. It's not a bother. It's an excitement. Big breath, you know that you're here on this earth, and yet, phew. It's like going over a culvert. Phew. D. All right. Let's move ahead until that feeling has passed. J. Well, it won't pass. D. But you'll be able to ignore the feeling as you talk to me, so it won't interfere with your communication. J. A whisper, I'm sorry. D. That's all right. Because I don't want you to experience anything at all that will be of any discomfort to you. J. Oh, it's not discomfort. It's a wonderful feeling. It's good. D. But you can put it aside as you talk to me, so you can communicate clearly that way. Now, what happened as you drove your car down that street? J. The sensation was apparently not bothering her now. Her voice was steady and clear. Well, I got in the car and started to drive toward the edge of the parking lot. And I was supposed to turn to the left, get on the freeway, and go to Andy's and get lunch. Surprised. But when I got to the edge of the parking lot, I didn't turn left, I turned right. And, taken from the freeway, 339, as soon as I made the turn right, I thought, oh, this is really strange, because I should have gone to the left. That's crazy to turn right. And I thought, oh, well, the post office is down here. Since I'm going this way, I'll just get my mail at the post office. So I turned and went down 7th. And I turned on Woodlawn in front of the Capitol. And as I started going down toward the Capitol, that sensation started again. Then I turned to the right to go down 4th Street. As soon as I turned the corner, then I. Her voice dropped softer, I lost it. Confusion, garbled half sentences. D. What do you mean, you lost it? You didn't know what happened then or what? J. I don't know. I seem to have gone somewhere. And then I was swish back in my car. And it was, where am I? Because I was back. I mean, I was back. and I was going fast, but the car wasn't going fast. And I thought, oh, 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 where am I going? What city am I in? For a minute I didn't know where I was. Then I thought, oh, should I stop the car? But then, it was fine. I was fine. And I wasn't afraid. It wasn't fear. It was just a surprise. And then, where was I? And I tried to look around and see where I was. It looked unfamiliar. And then all of a sudden I was at the post office, and there was no place to park the car. So I went around and around the post office. And while I was driving, I felt the strong urge to look up. And there they were right up there. Three of them and just beautiful. D, what did they look like? J, they were silver and round, and making a humming sound. There were three of them, and they moved in a pattern, like they were dancing. It was for me. It was like a thank you. I knew what it was, but I wanted people to know. I wanted them to see what I was seeing. They were pretty, really pretty. I knew I'd just got back from there. As soon as I looked, as soon as I saw them, I knew. D, did anybody else see it? 340, the custodians. J, I tried. I wanted them to see it. I rolled down all my windows, and I was yelling. And I couldn't hear any noise. Cars were going down the street, and I couldn't hear them. I couldn't hear the people talking. They were standing right in front of me talking, and I couldn't hear what they were saying. I was getting exasperated, because I wanted them to look up there. I was pointing and yelling, "Hey! Don't you see it? Look! Look!" And I was trying to show everybody, but they wouldn't look. I didn't understand why they weren't looking, and then I realized, oh, I can't hear them. Oh, I must be invisible. Maybe they can't see me or something. I thought, where am I? Because if they can't see me and I'm right here, where am I? I was having these thoughts. I didn't understand it, but it was kind of fun. And I asked the ships, what's happening here? And they mentally told me that I wanted to see them. So they wanted to give me that, like a present. I know I've been there, but I don't remember that part. D, then did things return to normal after that? J, not right away. I parked the car. And after I got out I was walking and I spoke to this guy, and he didn't even hear me. Chuckle, that was a little unnerving. And I thought, okay. I'm just going to act normal. Then as I started up the steps I could feel my body again. And I saw somebody coming out of the building, and I yelled at him. I was so close it startled him. Laugh, as soon as he said, hi, then I could hear. D, the sounds came back. J, and I could hear people talking. I couldn't hear anybody talking till that man said, hi. He looked familiar, and I knew that I knew him. But he jumped, he was startled. D, but that brought you back to normal. Well, I would like to explore that part where you think he went somewhere. When the time was speeded up, before you came back. We will see what happened during that time. I was told the last time we worked that if I took you to this state I could. Taken from the freeway, 341, communicate with people on the ship. He said he didn't have to give any other instructions to him that. Would it be possible for one of them to come and explain what happened during that time? While I was asking these questions and trying to re-establish contact, something unusual happened within my own body. I had the strong sensation of heat up around my crown chakra, which is located on the top of the head. I felt heat and tingling all around the top of my head. It was a strange feeling, but it didn't interfere with my ability to concentrate and ask questions. I had never felt it before, and it was distracting. I glanced around the room trying to figure out where it was coming from. And I waved my hand over my head, like shooing away flies, even though I knew it was not being caused by anything physical in the room. Janice made some vocal grunting noises as though it was difficult to get started. The voice that finally came through was different from the last time. This time instead of the mechanical, robot type, it sounded more human. However, it had an authoritarian sound. Janice's lighter, somewhat apprehensive, definitely female, voice with an Arkansas accent was gone. Jay, you can know some of it. But you will not be allowed the fullness, because it is uncompleted. D. What do you mean, it's uncompleted? J. There is more to come from this incident, and it cannot be revealed at this time. Before we begin, I would like to apologize for any discomfort I may have just caused you. We were scanning to be sure you were the same person that worked with Janice last time. We had to be sure that your thought processes were properly connected, and your intentions were still the same as they were in the beginning. D. That was causing the feeling of heat? J. Yes. It was merely a scanning device. It caused no harm. D. When I was scanned before, it was a tingling feeling throughout my body, reported in Chapter 7, Ratherton, 342, The Custodians, Heat. J. Different crafts have different devices, but they serve the same purpose. You cannot deceive us. We know your motives better than you know them yourself. If your motives were not still pure and clear, then you would not be allowed to have this communication. You may now proceed with your questions. This entity had a masculine feel, and I felt confident with his explanation. I instinctively knew that this being would not harm me or Janice. I could feel protection in his voice. If he had wanted to hurt me, he could have done it during the scanning, and I could have done nothing to prevent it. But I have never felt fear when working with these beings, only curiosity. D. I'm trying to understand what happened to Janice during this incident. Was she really driving down the street? J. She was driving down the street. But she transcended your dimension, and her car was not on your plane, nor was she. D. Then where did they go? J. They went into our ship. D. It is possible to take a car too? A large object like that? J. It is possible to take any object. D. Does this mean that she disappeared off the street? J. Correct. D. If someone had been watching, would they have seen anything happen? J. They would not have known what they saw, because it is much as when you turn the light out. That quick the change takes place from light to dark. You don't remember the light, because you have the dark. D. So the people on the street wouldn't have seen the car disappear? J. They would have seen it, but they wouldn't remember they saw it. Taken from the freeway, 343. This sounded very similar to other cases reported in this book, where the people who are not involved in the incident retain no knowledge of seeing anything. D. I'm trying to understand what happens in that process. J. They know. They thought, but it is replaced with a memory that causes them not to know they saw it. D. Because it would be confusing. Then why couldn't she be taken by herself? Why did the car have to be taken? J. There was no purpose in removing her, for this was a trip for her. And further, if anyone had discovered her empty car, then there would have been a problem for the time period that she should have been gone. Police would have come. And when we returned her, there would have been a big problem for her to explain. The voice also had a reverberating quality that seemed to affect the microphone. D. Then you saw this as a possibility. J. A very real possibility. More than a possibility, a reality. D. Then what happened? She was taken on board. J. Interaction, much needed by the individual in order to continue the work. A refueling, if you wish, or a granting of desires by the individual to know certain things that, in a sense, could help her in assimilating and being able to function in the reality in which she lives. So in an effort to help her continue with this work, it is sometimes necessary to provide the individual with, if you will grant me the slang, to use your terminology, a warm fuzzy for them to feel and understand that they are appreciated, and not taken for granted. He may have used slang, but it was said in such a way that it was awkward and definitely unfamiliar to him, for this individual is of the importance to us that if she has a need or desire, we will see it satisfied within her or without in her everyday life. For the work she is doing and has done has been of great value to this planet. And, 344, the custodians, therefore her desires will be satisfied. I got the impression that the voice was coming from an older man. The words were very carefully enunciated and at times clipped. D. I think that's very good. So when she and the car were taken, it just passed through a dimension? Yes, I'm always thinking of physically, I guess. how something that heavy could be transported through the air or whatever. J. It has to do with the speeding up or the slowing down of the molecules within the form, as she understands it. D. It does no harm to the person or the car? No. Then when it came back, what was occurring there, with the absence of sound and the feeling of being invisible? J. It was in order for her to continue to experience the gift. It was not for the eyes of the others, and it needed to be in her consciousness that it was a real experience. It was a method for allowing her to know the value we place on her wishes. It was a method for us to say to her, we agree. We agree. Maybe to put this in your frame of reference, it could be explained in the manner of saying, this is our way of communicating to the individual the importance we value them. If they wish to see us in the daylight, as she had been desiring, then that will happen, because it is important for them to know we trust them, and they can trust us. And in that trust the work can continue and flow. As to the sound, as to the state in which she found herself unable to communicate, that was necessary for assimilation back into this dimension. In that it is sometimes, he had difficulty with the word, incongruent, and also because of the time reference frame, impossible to immediately pick up. In that there is a lag, because of the speed in the other dimension. You have to re-assimilate back into this one. Therefore sometimes it is necessary to provide invisibility to the individual until they can assimilate back. D. Then the other people really couldn't see her? Taken from the freeway, 345, J. Correct. D. Then she was between the dimensions. And this was. Janice began to experience signs of discomfort. She seemed to be heating up, and pulled the cover off. I gave suggestions for well-being, and she seemed to be cooling down and becoming more comfortable. I then continued with my questioning. The lack of sound was because of not being quite back? She seemed uncomfortable again. Then a sudden switch, as through the entity was back in control. Was it his energy that was causing the feeling of heat? J. It can be explained in this manner. This individual can operate in more than one dimension at the same time. This was also a manner of showing her she is able to do this. An introduction, if you will, to that space and that time, of being able to transcend one dimension into another. Perhaps the third dimension. There are times when she operates in more than one dimension, and she knows that. D. Then as she came back she and the car really were invisible to the people until she parked it and get out? J. Correct. There was a point in time at which her complete reassimilation would take place. Until that point in your time frame reference was reached, she could not return. D. So as far as the other people on the street were concerned, she did not exist. J. Correct. D. When she saw the three ships in the sky, were they visible to anyone else? J. No. Because she had the sight of more than one dimension, she could see them. The others did not have the sight. D. Then as she was coming back the ships were still in the other dimension. J. They were in the other dimension. But she could see them, for she could see in both dimensions simultaneously. D. I've had other people also speak of experiences like this, where there was no sound and they were trying to get, 346, the custodians' attention from other people. And I was wondering what was happening at those times. J. It could be the same thing. D. And sometimes there seems to be a lack of activity altogether, on the streets or wherever, as though everything had stopped. J. That happens. That is a different thing. D. What is happening in those cases? J. Time stops. D. For the individual or the outside world or what? J. It can happen for both. D. I'm very curious. I'm always trying to understand these many different things. When her energy was being adjusted, as you said on the ship, is this done with machines of some kind? J. No, it's done with thought. D. And she had to be there, in physical form to do this? J. She didn't have to be, but it took place faster that way. This individual can work from anywhere. There are times when it is necessary to commune directly. Necessary for the individual more so than for us. D. May I ask, is this the same entity being I was talking to the last time? No, I thought the voice seemed different. and I was told that whoever was not busy, I guess, would be the one to speak to me. Is that correct? J. This is the individual with whom she is presently working. D. All right. The other time the voice sounded more mechanical. And I am trying to understand how that communication took place. Was it telepathy, telepathic, or by some kind of mechanical means? J. I do not understand your question. D. The other voice seemed to be more mechanical, or similar to a robot type, I guess I should say. J. That was a different level of communication. D. How is this communication taking place, between me and you? J. It is taking place through a method of transference into the, taken from the freeway, 347, brain cells of your subject, and then her vocal cords are being used to convey the sound to you. It could be done directly to you. D. But then it would still have to come through something, wouldn't it? J. It does not have to. D. Where you are from, are you a being that uses speech? J. We can or we cannot. D. I didn't know Fu had the vocal equipment to use speech. J. We can simulate your speech. That's what I am doing. D. That's why I thought maybe you were using some kind of mechanical device. J. There are different levels of workers. You were simply speaking with the level of worker with which she was working at the time. There has been a stepping up. There have been many other meetings, and there is a different level of work going on, as was communicated to you before. I know that you remember. We told you we had many projects. The more that the being is willing and wishes to handle, as she progresses, this will become more and more a part of the reality to the point that there will be a time when you won't perhaps notice that much difference at all. D. But you say D. You could speak to me directly. I prefer this method myself. I'd rather not be contacted directly at this time. J. If those are your wishes. D. I think it would help the credibility of my work to remain the objective reporter at this time. J. We would not hinder your work ever, because it is a great service that you are doing to your planet. You are a pioneer. D. This is why I would rather do it in this way. I think if it came the other way, I might be frightened or startled to where I wouldn't want to do any more experiments. J. There is something that needs to be explained to you. That is, this method we are using or that is being communicated to you. Since your last meeting with this individual, much work has taken place, and assimilation integration work, 348, the custodians, has taken place to the point where we now work with this individual at an energy level state in which there is a difference of functionality. The individual has advanced past the point of working with the being she was working with. It is now at a different level. D. I knew there was a difference in the personality. May I ask what you look like? J. I look similar to your people on the Earth. D. Because the other one said he appeared more like the small ones with the large eyes. J. Correct. We know them. And we understand their work. However, they are subject to us. D. And you look more like we consider humans to appear. J. We can look like what we want to look like. D. How can you do that? J. It is a method that we learn from birth. It is thought. D. You will find I ask many, many questions. So be patient with me. J. You are a curious woman. D. Is Ram. Then do you have any form that is your original form, or your main condition? J. We have. D. What is that form like? J. Pure energy. D. Then you don't necessarily need a physical body? J. Correct. D. But you manifest a physical body for different reasons. Can I know why? J. If we want to walk on your planet, if it is necessary to save a subject, if it is necessary to work in an area where we physically need a presence. D. Don't you feel rather inhibited that way though, if you're pure energy? J. It is very heavy to do this. D. I think it would be, because you're used to being so free. J. It is a little confining, yes. Do you understand that you're speaking to a level that is in containment of your small, taken from the freeway, 349, being, in that? Sigh, there is a point at which an individual reaches. The ability exists to work in the energy state, and that individual learns to do so. That is what Janet has been doing most recently. And she is aware of it. D. Well, are you on board a craft? J. We are presently on board a craft. D. I find that curious.